The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. One note about the story before I read it. The fig tree. It's kind of enigmatic if you don't know, but generally it's understood to be an image for one's hometown. So keep that in mind as we read. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found the one about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to Philip, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked Jesus, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And Jesus said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? That's a stereotype. Admittedly, Nazareth was a very small, insignificant town in the backwater countryside of Galilee. Nazareth was very far away from the economic and cultural and spiritual center of the society into which Jesus was born. So, for a person to be of consequence, let alone the Messiah, that person needed to be born in a place of standing. Say, Jerusalem, perhaps to royalty, to rulers, to priests. Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth? Nah, can't happen. Stereotypical and prejudicial. I will add elitist, even though it is clear that Nathanael himself is from a similar burg. The fig tree, Cana, that's where Nathanael was from, a small town in Galilee. But Nathanael has completely adopted this elitist view of reality, even though he suffers under it. So all stereotypes and prejudice are ways of delegitimizing others, delegitimizing individuals, or groups, whole groups of people, relegating people to the realm of social death as non-persons, valueless, invisible, of no account. Think of the birther controversy around President Obama. It really wasn't a constitutional issue where he came from, but an issue of stereotype and prejudice. Can anything good come from the black community? Or if you want to be real current about it, take President Trump's recent statements about African nations and Haiti. Nothing good comes out of these places, and we don't want those people here. Now, Nathanael wasn't so scatologically vulgar about it. But just as dismissive. Nothing good comes from Nazareth. What is common here is this persistent and, as My confirmation class said that things tend to repeat in history. That's what they're learning about history. So these prejudicial attitudes and structures kind of flow through the ages, structures of death and subjugation of peoples. Prejudicial and stereotypical language support structures of society which subject people to social death and then physically deadly circumstances. If you recall from last week, my example was Native Americans. Because they were seen as inferior, it was far easier to justify the taking of their land. Or a more egregious example, as we gather the day before we remember Dr. King's birth, of course, we know that African American folks were so dehumanized and understood to be so valueless. What good can come out of Africa that they were sold into slavery? So such language and structures of death are manifestly in opposition to God's will for life through the creation itself and through God's conversation to people through what Philip in this lesson identifies as the law and the prophets. And then the word of life made flesh in Jesus the Christ. What Jesus is doing in this story, and I asked my confirmands, you know, what verb crops up a whole bunch right at the beginning? It's found or finding. What Jesus is doing here is finding people who are lost in systems of death, perhaps so lost that they are unaware that they even participate, which seems to be the case for Nathaniel. Jesus is calling them and us to new life. Follow me. Trust me. Believe in me. Or as John seems to be saying, believe into me about Jesus. Become one with Christ and one with the one, the Creator, who sent me. To be found by Jesus is to be born again. Very similar to the offer that Jesus will make a chapter later to Nicodemus, who himself was a member of the elite and powerful, a ruler, it says, of the Jewish people. So what I think is important here is that rich or poor, powerful or powerless, Jesus has come to find you. No prejudice, no partiality. Philip follows. And true following also seems to be finding others, to encourage others to follow, to offer life in the name of Jesus the Christ. So Philip finds Nathanael, a good disciple. But Nathanael can't believe it. Not from Nazareth. Can't happen. But Philip persists. Philip is faithful. There's a famous line that crops up a lot of times in the gospel. Come and see. Come and see. Come and believe. Come and believe into the Christ. Come into the light. Step into life, into relationship with the one who is sent by the living God. Nathanael follows. I don't know. Is he curious? Hopeful? Is he believing? Jesus receives Nathanael, he says, as a true Israelite, in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael has overcome his partiality, his stereotyping. He has stepped out of the structure and language of death into light and life, into relationship with Jesus the Christ. He has, if you will, repented. Repented of his stereotyping, his prejudicial attitudes. And in his acceptance by Jesus, Nathanael has been forgiven. That's really what this whole business about the fig tree is about. It's not simply that Jesus knows where Nathanael came from, what city. That's not the big deal. But even more, Jesus knows where Nathanael is coming from. Where are you coming from? Jesus knows. Like the woman at the well a little later, Jesus knows everything about her. That is, what her fears are, the death into which she has been caught and sometimes active in. Nathanael will see in light and life, a new reality, one of life, of welcome and acceptance of others, all rooted in the welcome and acceptance of God who has sent Jesus to find the lost in darkness and death. The image of angels rising and ascending up, up and down. Jesus says you will see. Really what he's talking about is you will be in relationship with God, even as the Son of Man is in relationship with the Heavenly Parent in the creation of all. Angels ascending up and down. This cosmic revolution, this transition from death to life, from a world of stereotype and prejudice to a world of welcome and eternal relationship with God, occurs in this very simple conversational encounter into which this day we are all invited to be those who are in communication, in exchange with Jesus, who is finding us, who is inviting us to follow, who is inviting us to find others, to combat structures of death and stereotyping. Jesus is finding us always. He knows where you're coming from. He knows our fears, how we are lost, how we have hurt others, knows our hopes. Come and see is the invitation always. Come and receive the good news. Receive the welcome of God, the forgiveness of God that inaugurates new life. Follow me, as with Philip, does mean finding others who are trapped in structures of death, whether that's major ones of society or structures of our own making. But as in all the Gospels, it means following Jesus to the cross. We see already in this brief, this simple, this lightly conversational encounter with Nathanael that Jesus has borne in his own person Nathanael's sin of deadly stereotyping in opposition to God's will of life for all. And in receiving Nathanael, forgives him. In this simple back and forth conversation, the whole reality of crucifixion and resurrection is foreshadowed and occurring. This is the conversation into which you are invited this day and every day. Such a scenario will continue to play out as you read the Gospel of John, always in these simple conversations with the woman at the well, with the man born blind, always, until finally the whole system across all of the ages into our time, the whole system of death falls upon him in that place of power, Jerusalem. But the depths of God's forgiveness is demonstrated, spoken, if you will, in the resurrection, where the invitation comes once more and always to each and to all of us. Follow me. I'd like to end there. But yesterday I heard a reaction to our president's racist comments concerning African nations. A good friend of Bethel, a pastor from Rwanda, whom we have all encountered in this place, asked, "Is that what you think of us?" Racist words are deadly, and they encourage actions against others and lead to constructs of rejection and death. They inflict pain and death, as our friend Shirley was feeling. There are already many stories of those deported being killed. On this day, before we recall, as we recall, Dr. King's birth and his nonviolent stance against systems of death, and a week before we remember the Women's March against violence and deadly prejudice against women, we see that, as my confirmands told me, history repeats, but also that Jesus' conversation is with us. It is relevant. It is now speaking to us, inviting us to follow and to find. It is, we might say, crucial for today. Amen.